driven by a responsibility to integrate past and present stories of land and foodways in the Paso del Norte region and beyond, La Semilla Food Center and Zeke Peña are collaborating on a zine about our national food policy, also known as the Farm Bill. Set in Vado, New Mexico, the zine breaks down the policy's history and its impacts on our communities. It is at once a work of art, history, archival research, and, of course, storytelling. They hope it can get folks excited to work on policy changes to the Farm Bill and on all food policy, federal to local. Here to tell us all about it are Ruby Orozco from La Semilla and artist Zeke Peña. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you so much for having us.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
It's always a pleasure to talk to each of you, and to have both of you together is like extra sprinkles on my day. So thank you.
It's been awesome to collaborate with Zeke.
I know, he's such a good time, but that's not what this is about. Let's talk about why we're here. So Ruby, take us back. Explain the Farm Bill to us. Give us the lowdown and then let us know, you know, why you decided it was important that you embark on this project in such a way.
So the Farm Bill is the nation's food policy, and it determines how the bulk of our agriculture-related monies in our national discretionary budget are spent. And this is a policy that we have the opportunity to shape every 5 years. And a lot of people don't know that. It's kind of this seemingly unwieldy, complex policy. And so we wanted to develop, a zine so that communities on the ground could understand this policy and how it impacts us on a day-to-day level. You know, what does it look like in our lives? And how can we get involved so that it looks even better, you know? And so like in El Paso, for example, in our region, in the Paso del Norte region, in the last 10 years, I don't know if you've noticed, there's been a boom in the local foods kind of movement. You know, there are more new and expanding community farms, more local growers, and also farmers markets. And so those are the kinds of programs that are supported through Farm Bill monies, right? These are USDA monies. And they're so effective at feeding communities and keeping us healthy and even improving our local economy that they've been called tiny but mighty programs by the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, because they receive a small amount of that money, but they give back exponentially more than they're given. So this is the kind of, you know, work that we want to highlight.
So what happened that we got that boom? You know, we see you, we see Desert Spoon Food Hub, we see all the smaller growers, but now I can actually get them at my doorstep. What happened? How did that get impacted?
Oh, that's a very good question. You know, it was probably a confluence of factors. I think that a lot of people are realizing the need for that local sustainable food system compared with the conventional industrial food system, you know, that is vulnerable to disruptions like we saw with the pandemic, right? There were like shortages and all kinds of issues with food. And whereas local growers and local farmers are better able to adapt and to address challenges and to know who vulnerable community members might be who especially need those doorstep deliveries. And so because we're a community and we're connected, we're able to better serve each other, you know, and understand the needs of the community.
Okay. So why a zine, which I totally love, but how'd you guys decide, like, you know what, we're going to do this in a zine?
I don't know how we arrived there, honestly.
You just made it happen, that's all.
Yeah, I think, we wanted something accessible, especially for younger readers. We wanted something that was story-based, that was, like, character-based, that really painted the picture for people. You know, we also wanted something really local, told from a local perspective, but also tying to national history and policy. And so we thought I think initially it was going to be like a one pager kind of thing, and it's turned into a much longer, almost book. And so, we thought that it was important, especially as people who work with the land and who work with culture, to know the story of the land, you know, and what's mm-hmm. happened here, and that that story is unfinished. Like, we're still part of the story. We're writing it together, right? And so we have an opportunity to understand our place, our literal place in this world, and to tell the stories of this region in order to foster more equity and connection, you know, because, yeah, there's been a lot of harm, a lot of waves of displacement of indigenous peoples, right? The stealing of labor and expertise of enslaved African people in this country that built our agricultural system. And so all of those stories tie back here as well. And so we thought a zine would be an accessible way to tell so many layers.
So enter Zeke. And Zeke, at this point, you've illustrated, I don't know, countless amounts of works in zines. And I mean, it's beautiful to see your work everywhere. It's cool also that you're from here and that you understand wholeheartedly who you're serving, who is going to read the zine. So tell us about your piece of working through this.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, what Ruby was talking about in terms of like accessibility, I'm always interested in my work and engaging with young people and young-minded people, right? Like how to kind of break down kind of complex ideas and complex histories in a way that is accessible and kind of distributes the information and also like an interesting way, right? Because we've all sat in the school desk. So how to also make this a little bit more engaging. And I think that comics is an excellent way to do that. Ruby is also, you know, really great at with the written word and, you know, expressing, you know, some of those ideas in the written word. So I think that this collaboration has been a very special collaboration in terms of having many people influence the story, many people inform the story, right? This is a narrative that's written and informed by many people. And I think that that input of people from our community is what makes it special, because a lot of the history and a lot of the knowledge that's being given to us in our local schools, public schools, or wherever, private schools even, doesn't come from here, right? We're being told our own history by people who come from a different place and from a different cultural, racial, economic background, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that this zine is in the same tradition of making, you know, prints, right? Accessible prints, or, you know, organizing by the United Farm Workers, you know, union of disseminating just simple printed materials. So I think that this is an accessible way. While it will be digital also, this was just kind of, for me, it was a very natural way to kind of work on the project, right, and collaborate in this way. And I think that it's been just a really organic process in the development of it.
How do you decide as an illustrator what frame or what piece of the story gets visually represented?
This was tough. Like typically I'll start with emotion, right? Like I'll start with like, what is the emotion? Like, what's the sentiment? What is the character feeling? What is the dialogue saying? Right. But I think with this, because it's kind of a mixture of a very, it's like history. Then there's also like statistical information, percentages and things like that. And some just really clear stuff that there's some information that we want to just be really clear with.
Yeah.
This one was unique. So I think it was very collaborative. I was really much having to rely on the idea of the other folks that were working with us, Ruby included, right? Like, so what's a good idea for this? And so we would just kind of as a group collectively brainstorm some of the images. And then it was kind of just a matter of piecing those things together, working on the separate kind of chunks of information or sections of information. And then visually for myself, trying to figure out creative ways of trying to bridge the gap between one thing and the other. But yeah, and then a lot of it is also just design, right? It's using like some graphic design skills of composition. But yeah, this one has been a very unique challenge. I think that's why it's taken a little bit longer than a normal project would have taken. Yeah.
I see Ruby nodding. You want to add to that?
Yeah. I think we were trying to figure out when we started. It was probably the fall or late summer of 2019. We thought it would be a couple of months collaboration. And here we are, finally ready to release this project. It really does weave in and out of the local and national, you know, the past and the present, and even a little bit dreaming about the future. And so, yeah, we did a lot of weaving in this time period.
So Zeke, anything or what's the thing that you learned throughout this process that you didn't know?
Oh, so much. Yeah. I've acquired so much more understanding of these processes, what the farm bill is. I had zero idea what the farm bill was, how it functioned, what it funded. And I've really tried to stay in that objective role. I think in collaborative projects like this, if I need to be in this role, I like to stay in an objective role, because as an illustrator, I'm having to kind of think in the frame of mind that a viewer or a reader would be thinking. So it was kind of helpful to not know anything, because then I could say, well, me not knowing anything, how would I need to understand this? But some of them, I think the critical part for me was really understanding these like key historical moments of, say, like the Dust Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Like I knew what the Dust Bowl was, but I had no knowledge or, you know, clear understanding of how our region connected to that. Because I think in the history books that I read or encountered in school, they weren't relevant to our region, right? They're not inclusive of our region and of our people. So I think that was a really nice piece for me, was being able to piece together those key historical moments with something as concrete as the farm bill, and like seeing SNAP or WIC at the grocery store and knowing that there's a connection between those two things. So that was like one of the really exciting things for me.
Did they ever say like, hey, can you draw a chart?
Oh, there's a chart in there for sure. Yeah, there is a chart. You will encounter a chart in the zine when you read it. I hope you all will read it. There is definitely a chart in there, because it was just necessary. It's a it's a complex, and we owe a lot of credit to V working at La Semilla, who helped us a lot. V Quevedo, who helped us kind of break down some of the information, and has a really thorough understanding of the impacts that this important piece of legislation has on our community. So we owe a lot to them for sure.
So Ruby, is it time for us to influence that farm bill? You said every 5 years. When do we get revved up to do this?
We are coming up on that time. Yes. And so, you know, the zine concludes with a list of organizations that folks can follow, you know, local, regional, national food justice organizations. So we're really building on decades and decades of work, you know, by food justice advocates and part of a network, you know. So yes, this is kind of just like a standalone project, but a resource for organizers and educators. And so, you know, really tapping into those connections that La Semilla has cultivated over the last 10 years at the local, regional, national level to collectively help each other, you know, organize towards a more sustainable food system. So absolutely, yeah.
It's time.
Yeah, and if I could throw something, add to that, is like, you know, there's many ways of engaging. There's many ways of encountering this. I think, again, for me, like not having a knowledge of this is, now I want to have conversations with the people in my family, right? I want to bring up those conversations and have conversations with my elders, with my parents and stuff, the people in my life. And I think that's been something that's been with me while working on this project, is like, you may not be able to take on the whole narrative, right? But what are the pieces that are going to resonate? Exactly. What's your piece? What resonates with you? And then hopefully you walk away with a little bit of more understanding and inspiration to go have a conversation with someone else about it. Because I think that's really kind of where that change begins, right? Is in conversation with community and with family. And so, you know, being from our region, that's one of the most important things. So that's my intention and hope for this project.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's really how we conquer anything big, right? Just one piece at a time. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ruby, so how do we get our hands on the zine? How do we experience it? How do we interact?
I'm inviting everyone to follow La Semilla Food Center on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, to stay up to date. We'll be releasing a digital version of the zine, and we'll stay digital for a while before we go to a print version. So we'll be hosting a virtual release event in the next few weeks We're working with a great organization called Create Your Fable. Shout out to Shauna and Ben and everyone at Create Your Fable. They're helping us plan a really engaging live event that will feature local, regional, and national speakers and performers, as well as opportunities to ask questions from Zeke, myself, and other panelists. So please follow us and be on the lookout for details.
So there you have it. Today, my guests have been Ruby Orozco from La Semilla and artist Zeke Peña, who have collaborated on this wonderful zine. Follow La Semilla at all their social media channels to find out more. Ruby, Zeke, always a pleasure. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thank you, Marina.
Thank you so much, Marina.